the Environmental Advisory Committee Waste Diversion Collections and Education Subcommittee to order. Item one, roll call. Trevor?
Here.
let's see, Doug Jennings?
Here.
Margot Garcia?
Here.
And it looks like Fred's going to be absent today, so.
Chris, I just got off the phone with Fred. He's going to log on. He was on tomorrow's link.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
So he'll be on shortly.
All right.
Oh, here he is.
Get it.
Hello.
Hi, Fred.
Welcome.
Hi.
Okay, we're called to order, and I think I just need to add you to our roll call. So, Fred, Ariza, you're present, right?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Okay. I was a day ahead.
That's pretty impressive.
Better than a day behind.
Yeah. Okay. I don't have
that's for tomorrow.
I don't have a chairperson's report, but I was gonna have Brittany send all the last of the planned Tucson meeting stuff that's happening that you can see online. And also they've got the final version for you to go through if you have time. Okay. I don't know. I'm kind of feeling like it's a done deal. So it passed the planning commission, and next is it just has to go before mayor and council. But I just want to remind you that it does have to be voted on.
Right.
And there have been times when people have not voted for the city plan. Right, Margo?
Not recently.
No, not recently.
Yeah, no, the ones that have not been voted on were the RTA plans.
Oh.
Those okay. are the ones that went down.
That went down. Okay, I thought there was a...
I don't think so.
A plan, Tucson. But, anyhow, check it out if you have time. Okay. Moving on to item three with Frank for the landfill and compliance. Starting with the gas collection update.
Oh. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Oh, can you turn yourself up a little bit? Or let me.
Is that anybody?
How are you guys hearing it?
Garbled.
Yeah, it's garbled. It's a little garbled.
Let me close my door. I don't have to move it, but I'm going to do
okay.
that.
Okay. I think we've had that before.
Can you hear me any better?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Much better. Okay.
I have some papers over my microphone. Okay. So the first topic is landfill gas collection update. We've been talking about our ongoing issues with the three new, I believe that I mentioned this the last time. If I have it, well, that's good information to repeat, but we installed three new extraction wells in our South Door A. The South Door A reached the 5-year capacity, and by regulation, we're supposed to install a system extraction well so that we can extract the landfill gas from that new cell. So those three new extraction wells are to meet our compliance requirements. What we did find, and even though we installed them, we're in compliance, but now we have an issue where one of those wells is showing elevated temperatures. And so those elevated temperatures are above what we have in our current permit. And so we have some requirements that we have to meet. We have to do an analysis, a root cause analysis to see why this is happening. We know exactly why now at this point, because when those wells are being drilled, there's a section of waste mass, which is between 50 feet to 75 feet below ground or below the surface of South Ray, that were found to have extremely high elevated temperatures. And we determined that it's not anything where there's oxygen intrusion. If there was oxygen intrusion, then we basically would have a subsurface fire that would smoldering underneath. But that's not the case. We don't have any oxygen. So it basically just means that we just have extra activity. There was probably some waste that we received. And we're thinking it was something that would run that hot would be the biosolids that we bring in from wastewater treatment facilities.
What kind of temperature are you talking about?
Do you we're talking, the temperatures were around 175 degrees.
Okay.
When the drilling happened, but the temperatures that we're looking at in the landfill gas as we're extracting it, they're at 147.
Well, okay.
Right. So it's still higher than the 131 that we have under permit, under our requirement. So
131 is the requirement. Right. Okay.
But there are ways, and if we can't lower, there's really not a whole lot that we can do to lower the temperature. And so we're just tweaking the wells to see, we're increasing the flow slowly, of course, because these are new wells, and so we have to tweak them slowly as time goes by. But we'll get to a point where if the temperatures are still reading that high, there's nothing wrong with them reading that high. We will just have to go back to Pima County DEQ and request for an exemption and then to get a higher level of temperature, which our permit renewal is going to bring us up to 148 regardless. But if we have to, we would probably request something a little higher, just depending on how our temperatures go. Just a few things that we have to deal with when we have landfill gas and these extraction wells.
I was going to ask how you how you measured. Is it the temperature of the gas coming out that you're measuring? What do you mean?
It is.
It's the temperature of the gas.
The temperature of the gas.
Okay.
So at the wellhead, where we have extraction or vacuum, we put these wells under vacuum.
Mm.
And the landfill gas is being flows from the subsurface up through the well, through the wellhead, and then to our main distribution or conveyance system that then takes it over to the flip. So we do measure it exactly as it's coming out of the extraction well. And it's not only temperature that we measure, we measure how much methane, how much CO2, how much balanced gases, the flow, the temperature, the pressure differential. And so there's certain parameters that we have to keep track of. And oxygen, of course.
Hmm. So the new wells, they're under vacuum already? They're already tied in?
Right. So as soon as we install them, they were put under vacuum. We didn't reach a negative pressure differential until a couple of days after that. It was because those wells were basically pushing out the gas more than our vacuum. But we're now where we have a negative vacuum, a negative pressure differential, which means that we're in vacuum. That's not an issue. We're just going through the motions to try to get stabilized. Well, the flow lack of gas.
How long do you expect that high temperature to continue?
Well, those temperatures could continue for the life of these wells.
I'm sorry?
Hold on for a minute. So these temperatures may be the norm for this one well that's elevated. Not all three of them are elevated, it's only one of those.
Yeah.
And that just may be the normal for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to come down.
Okay, I just wondered if it was something that went up because there's some reaction going on that's generating a lot of heat. And then as that material, which is the basis for the reaction, gets used up, then it would decline. I guess that's where my question was going.
Right. So no, we're not seeing anything in the, we're seeing normal methane, we're seeing normal oxygen, zero oxygen, normal CO2, balanced gas. So it's not necessarily a chemical reaction. It's just the microbes that are working and breaking down.
What's the probability or possibility of explosion?
So there is not. The only time you would, if we introduce oxygen and then we have
a subsurface.
No, a spark or something that would initiate, for example, a fire or an explosion, but there is zero oxygen, and so we don't have to worry about that.
Oh, okay.
So basically, if there's a fire triangle, you gotta have oxygen, we have to have fuel, and then we have to have an ignition source. So we don't have an ignition source, and we don't have oxygen. We just have the elevated temperatures. Right. Which is important.
Have you seen them blow up before?
No, we haven't had that issue.
Sorry, I just wondered. Yeah. Good.
Other than that, as far as our landfill gas collection updates, overall, we've talked about the landfill gas project or utilization project. So that's still what's going underway. We're working with a developer to see if we can reach an agreement to have a system where it's going to clean up the gas and then be able to inject it into one of the pipelines.
Okay.
It's still in the procurement process, so all of that is confidential, so we really can't talk up a lot about it.
Well, we know it's not TEP.
Right, no, we're not looking to generate electricity to choose not electric power. And that's what we were doing previously.
Yeah, I remember.
Right. But as time goes, and as soon as we have more information, I would like to also bring that over to the group. Depending if we have some sort of an agreement that we can then start. We're hoping that we can also have something in between. It'll take anywhere up to 2 or 3 years to actually have a facility built to start cleaning the gas and generating RNG and renewable natural gas. But within those 3 years, we're hoping that we can also come up with an interim solution so that we can start using the landfill gas beneficially instead of just having it. So there's a possibility of a short-term project and then the long-term, more like a 20-year project.
Good. Thanks. Any other questions? Nope. Want to move on to the Bifusion building update?
Right. So the building is under construction. There have been some issues that have popped up, but nothing major, just with the electric, moving the electrical connection to a different location. There were some issues with the roll-up doors where they had to be redesigned so that they could sustain the wind loads. And so everything has been worked through. We're still looking at having the facility completed by the fall. The actual building wasn't scheduled to arrive until August. It's been manufactured. It's a metal building. So it'll come in pieces. And when it gets here, then we're just going to piece the building. Right. On site.
Well, can you take a picture sometime when it starts to look like it's really happening?
Or it looks like something, yes, I can actually take okay.
Like walls and
things. Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Fall completion. Glass update.
So on glass, as you all know, the glass comes to out here at the campus, and when we had enough piled up, and we have SMI come in and collected and transported up to Phoenix, where they then crush it. Some of the feedback that we received recently is that they prefer our glass, that they actually feel that our glass, the glass that we're collecting, is high quality. Especially, so I think Christina has mentioned this. They prefer to have whole bottles of glass when they crush it instead of having just residual glass that's already not in the perfect size that they need. So currently, we don't have any glass, and so we're building up. And within a couple months, then we'll start shipping that glass out.
Okay, any questions? All right, let's move on to the green waste diversion.
Green waste diversion, we did start like our diversion program as a pilot. We actually haven't actually established it as a permanent program, although it is from our perspective, because we are actively diverting as much green waste that comes in from the South Pollers, the landscapers. And we're separated. We don't have our own equipment to grind it. We're actually at the end of this week, we're bringing in a grinder to be able to, and we're going to keep it for about a month. They will be able to grind enough material to keep us going for the next quarter and possibly even longer to feed our compost facility. That's primarily what we're using. We're at a point where all of the grindings are being used in composting, so we don't have anything excess that we deploy for the slopes or to use them in other ways. So we're not at that point yet. In 2023, we diverted 1,000 tons. In 2024, we diverted 2,000 tons, a little bit over 2,000. And I'm expecting that in 2025, we're planning to double that. So you can kind of see that it's steadily growing. We're diverting more. With the green waste, we can divert more than we're doing now. However, the limiting factor right now is the food waste. And so, but we know that the food waste production is also growing from the food waste at home and the commercial businesses. And so, both programs are basically increasing and growing.
Good. Any questions? Well, thank you, Frank.
Of course.
Okay. All right. So moving on to item 4, collection, Jose. You're up for the electric truck update. Wasn't it the transmission?
Yes. Yes, it was. But I'll give you a brief explanation. So I did ask Fleet Services. So just so you know, it didn't cost us anything to have that transmission replaced. So that unit was under, it's under warranty. So you know, it was covered. We didn't have to pay anything out of the budget. The builder, which is Battle Motors, is who made the diagnosis that the transmission needed to be replaced. One of the things that they're trying to find out why it failed. So that, I'm still waiting for an update on that, but it was a transmission. As a matter of fact, about an hour ago, I just got an update that it's been completed and it's gonna be picked up today. So hopefully we'll see it out there today. And, you know, hopefully we can start using it tomorrow. So, because everybody's been asking about it, especially, you know, the driver, hey, when am I getting my truck? Yes.
What kind of symptoms were the truck? Was the truck having? Was it just didn't work at all, or was it breaking down?
It was just when the operator was out there and he was running the truck, he started noticing that there was a hesitation when, you know, he was applying you know, so it can move. I don't want to say applying gas because it's not gas. So.
Right. Accelerating.
Yeah, accelerating. Yeah, yeah. So they ended up, you know, it was just hesitating, and then it got up to a point where it just died, you know, it just died, and it wasn't moving, you know, it wasn't even turning on. So when it comes to the whole technical and electric, I think it just cut everything off. So we had to tow that unit in.
I guess you can't jump start it, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Push it.
Yeah.
Yeah, push it.
Yeah. So we're looking forward to it. You know, we did call the city, you know, to see if there were any other issues. Well, actually, we called the city of Phoenix to see if they had any issues, you know, with the transmission. So, you know, we had only been running it about a month and a half when it, you know, broke down. So they haven't had any issues. So I don't know if it was something. If there's a difference, you know, with the unit that they have up there in up in Phoenix compared to what we have here. So, yeah, well, right now we're just, like I said, waiting, you know, what caused it, what might have caused it. So when it comes to these electric vehicles, you know, to be honest with you, when it comes to the transmission, it's, you know, I'm sure that it's more complicated than just a regular transmission out of one of our other units.
Okay, well, it's good it's back.
Yeah, I'll keep you guys updated, and I'll keep you guys posted if any, you know, once I find out what, you know, what the root cause of it was.
Okay, tell the driver to quit doing wheelies.
Yeah. They are fast, they're good trucks. I mean, yeah.
I wondered.
No, they are. I mean, they can get up and go. Basically, it's keeping up, you know, with the other units. It's keeping up with the way it's packing, the way it's, you know, being loaded. But, you know, it's the bad thing is come 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, depending on what route he's doing, that's when he has to come back to the yard or either get a charge or pick up another truck. That's the only downfall of it.
Okay. So no one's done a 0 to 60 yet on that?
Yeah, we haven't timed it yet.
Okay, just checking.
Maybe they have, and I'm not aware of it. So
no, please.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So next up, the brush and bulky appointment update. How's that going?
Yeah, actually, it's going pretty good these last couple of weeks. Let me see if I can share my screen, so you guys can see some numbers. Let me know if you guys are able to see that.
Yeah.
A little bigger. Oh, that's good.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can, as you can see, you know, from the beginning of the year, if you see, you know, we got area 25, it's highlighted in yellow. And then you got 19 that's in green, the light green. When we first started the year, you know, we didn't have anything for a couple of weeks. I think it was a month and a week. Where we didn't see anybody setting up appointments. Once we got into February, we started seeing, you know, area 19 and zero with area. No, actually, yeah, area 19 was seven, and then area 25 was six. So it started off slow, but for some reason, as you can see these numbers, Once it started, you know, I guess the weather was nice, and they started seeing Area 25, when they started seeing the area right next to it, which separates 12th Avenue, separates the two areas. So I think what happened, a lot of people started seeing that Russian Bulky was being brought out by that area that's right up against the other one. So we started seeing people bringing their stuff out. And then we started getting a lot of calls. As you can see, for Area 25, you know, we had 17, 15, 17. And then you can see it start going up. It went up from 26 to 61 calls.
Okay.
Yeah, it went up to 61 calls. And then, yeah, that's Area 20. Sorry, that's always Area 25. And then it went up to 72 for this week. So what's happening, that things that we're seeing out there is, you know, okay, there's 61 scheduled appointments that we have that we're going to go out there and service it. But then we had 48 extra piles that we picked up out there. So what's happening is, you know, people are seeing that people are bringing out the brush and bulky, and the next door neighbor's bringing it out. And then, you know, it can be down the street. So we're starting to see a lot of that. So we are recording that. We are letting the customer know that, you know, they basically that they used up one of their Russian bulkies, you know, for the first cycle. They are being notified. So we're seeing an increase this week. We still haven't got the numbers. You know, we were up to 72 appointments for this week. And then we're just going to wait and see how many surveys. When we say survey, the employees have a barcode that they're using out there. And what they're doing is they're reporting of what they're servicing out there. So we're just going to say, Alfred, you know, brought something out, you know, then he didn't make an appointment. We're going to take pictures of the pile, what we picked up, what was service out there, and basically count that against, you know, letting them know that we use, they're going to be using one of their brush and bulky pickups. And I think now that they're seeing that, you know, a lot, you know, if a truck goes by, I think the people are seeing that it's going by. It's like, hey, I didn't know Russian Bulky was coming out. What's going on? What happened? I didn't get a notification. And then that's when we have our customer service reps letting them know that that it's by appointment. You know, a lot of people don't read their mail or emails, whatever they're receiving. So that's how we, you know, a lot of the customers are being notified by the phone, by the customer service reps.
So are you seeing less dumping?
We are seeing some illegal dumping, especially in Area 25. And Area 19, it's not bad. It's the Area 25 that we've always discussed. But, we are seeing, being that, you know, monkey see, monkey do, I'm going to bring my stuff out, you know. And then when it gets closer to the outer street, people are seeing that. So we are seeing some illegal dump. The good thing is that we're taking care of it. When we're there, we see it, and we're servicing whatever's out there. If it's on an empty lot, you know, and somebody owns it, we are calling code enforcement so that way they can at least secure, you know, their property, so they won't have that kind of situation happen, you know, for illegal dumping. So, but we are picking up quite a bit, but not as much as we were, as you know, when the area was all open for the whole week.
Okay, that's progress.
Yeah, we're getting there. We'll see. You know, I know the weather's nice. We'll see what happens once it starts getting hot, and you know, it's just right now we're just tracking to see what's happening out there. We are having weekly meetings, and we are not weekly. You know, I think like every 2 weeks we're having meetings, you know, to discuss, you know, what can we do better, and right now, you know, with the 72 or actually 61 work orders that we went out there, we're having to send a crew that's, you know, going to basically, that's how they're working on. Because, you know, 61 workers, it's a lot, especially when you got big piles. So they're not finishing it up in one day. It might take them 2 days or 3 days to, you know, just to get all those completed out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I mean, one, you know, not only are we picking up the appointment brush and bulky, but we're also working on the regular area for the week.
Oh, still, yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Then you got your regular areas.
Yes.
Okay. Are any questions? Okay. Sounds good. And then next, the how the schedule rerouting is going?
That we're still trying to figure out. We're working on how we're gonna reroute some of these routes. Right now we're trying to balance them out. You know, if we have like on Mondays for residential, we have 45 routes. On Tuesday we have 47, Wednesday 41, Thursday 44, and then Friday 44. So what we're trying to do is balance it out, you know. How do we balance the amount of routes that we have throughout the day? One of the things that we're noticing is that, you know, with such an imbalance on the days, we're probably going to have to move here in the future. You know, one of the things that we're looking at is the days of service are for some customers. We're in the early stages right now trying to figure out how we're going to do this with minimal service days, so that way it doesn't affect the community. And then, so right now we're just in the process. We're hoping to get everything done hopefully by July, but then we're gonna have to present this, you know, so that way, you know, to all the ward offices, and I'm sure that it's gonna go up to mayor and council, so that way they know what's going on with some of the rebalancing of the days. To include residential, commercial, you know, we're also looking at commercial. Commercial has never hasn't had a reroute in so many years that some of these routes, you know, we got guys that are coming in at 5, getting off at 4:30. So, you know, we might add a couple of routes so that way, you know, we can balance that out to just more for efficiency, you know, out there for the commercial guys. So we're looking at doing the both of them. Like I said, right now we're in the early stages, and you know, once we gather all the information, you know, I'll share that with you, let you guys know what the boundaries are going to, the new boundaries for certain routes, what they're going to be. And I'll keep you guys posted on that.
Okay. Anyone? Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you guys.
That's good. Progress is good.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Jose. Thank you, Frank. Now we're moving on to the MRF and Christina. That's you, right?
Yes.
That's always you.
So let me see if I can share my screen.
Oh, and one more thing while Christina's looking for her stuff. We did receive 4 more side loaders that came in. So,
good.
Yeah, we got 4 more on there. So we're making progress on the vehicles too, on the some of the side loaders. And then we have the rollouts that went out, and you know, we're the 2 new rollouts, and we're using them out there.
Oh, good.
Okay, so we have it up. Looks like some of the prices went up a little bit, which is good. We did get a notice from the MRF that they had done the pricing on the plastics wrong in the first 3 months, so they're making an adjustment on the April bill, which we have not yet received. Should be coming in any day. I have asked them for some clarification on it, because they really haven't explained to us how they come up with the pricing on the plastics. Mm-hmm. I just kind of like to know, but you can see that in March they really increased it quite a bit. So that helps a lot. So And of course, you know, we're still benefiting from the low contamination that we had during the last audit. So things are looking pretty good. You know, just having the pricing, the revenue generated from materials has been really helpful. We were scheduled to do an audit today. The equipment has gone down, and by like 9:30, it still wasn't up. And so I got a call from the manager at the MRF, and their proposal was that we cancel the audit for today and just use the numbers from the last audit for the next few months, for the next quarter. So I believe that's what we're going to do. I mean, the numbers were good last time. And we would just do the next audit as we would plan in July. So,
Oh, okay.
yeah.
Christina,
Yes.
had one quick question.
Sure.
I is the February 2025 payments to the MRF and revenue. It shows that were we down or were we up 36,000? Did we pay the MRF or did they pay us? Because it's green, but it has like the parentheses indicating it's negative.
Right. We still are paying.
Okay.
There's,
Okay. Just wanted to make sure because it sort of stands out as like we actually got revenue for once, but it makes more sense that we pay them. Okay.
we still are paying. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
I wish. Be nice to get a check. But
Better than
it's
it
still,
was.
oh yeah. I mean,
Oh,
I can
yeah.
remember, you know, the invoices being 300,000. So I'm very happy to have them be what they are. But still, yeah.
Our high contamination rate times.
Yeah, when it was 30,000.
Yeah.
So yes. So, you know, things are looking okay. I think, you know, getting the contamination down has been very helpful. But we still want to, you know, there's still quite a few areas in the community where we need to target, trying to get it better. But I think one of the things, you know, that has really come through is we are just not seeing as much of the really nasty stuff that we used to.
Oh, good.
And Ernesto said that he and the people at the MRF are commenting that they're really not seeing as much plastic bags.
Wow.
So I don't know why that would be, but they both, you know, staff there and he both seemed to notice that it seemed to be down. So that's
Well,
good.
it's all that talking to the children.
Yeah.
Don't you think? You know, the information they get on this and then they take it home and hassle their parents.
They do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we've been also talking to people a lot about the Hefty Renew program and, you know, just kind of, you know, reminding people that they shouldn't be putting plastic bags and what they can do with them. So, you know, hopefully, you know, they're hearing that too.
Yeah, I would guess it's that we've made so much emphasis about the film plastic and the plastic bags that, and the Hefty Renew, a sort of side benefit it has been to focus attention on that it doesn't go in the recycling.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's only taken us 22 years more
Yeah.
ago.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, that's good news.
So, okay. Yeah, any other questions on this?
Nope.
All right.
And let's move on to item six for your public outreach.
Yes, so the outreach. April, as you know, is always a little bit crazy with Earth Month. We had our zero waste collection event on April 5th, which brought in 422 cars. The big items were the shredding and electronic waste. Those seem to be the big things, but we got a lot of medical equipment. And the person from the Disabled American Veterans did not show again. So we're looking for somebody else that can take that materials. We ended up taking it to WeCare. So we're going to try and see if they will be there at the next event in November. And then we got Treasures for Teachers to come out for the first time.
Oh, good. And
I had kind of told them I didn't know how much they were going to get because it was the first time, so not to have high expectations. Their van was filled to the brim. They had no room for anything else. They were very, very happy. So that was good.
What kind of things were they taking?
Oh, gosh. They take a lot of stuff, but they got a lot of craft supplies. They got school supplies.
Okay.
But tons of craft stuff.
Yeah.
So they were really, really happy. I saw the director at the Earth Day event, and because she wasn't able to come, but she had other volunteers there. And she said, oh, we definitely will be there in November, that they thought they got so much good stuff. So they were really happy.
I was a scrounger when I was a teacher, so
well, you know, they, and yeah, I didn't think they were going to get as much because we didn't have as much time to advertise that they would be there. They did. They were going to even leave a little early because they didn't have room for anything else. So
wow.
Yeah.
Good. So good. So stuff out of the landfill.
Yep.
Good stuff out of the landfill. Good.
And, you know, just like the Lions Club for the glasses, they collected over 1,000 pairs of eyeglasses.
Wow.
So, I mean, it does. It keeps a lot of things out and puts a lot of those things to good use. So we're really happy.
Yeah.
On April 1st, we started the... We restarted the Master Recycler class. We started with 9, 7 finished. And we're going to do a tour with them on Friday, but they did 5 sessions, 5 weeks of an hour and a half each.
Okay.
And they were great. They are committing to do at least 10 hours of volunteer work, and they were coming up with all sorts of ideas of how they want to help out with either tabling or doing teaching people about recycling in their workspaces. So they were a really, really good group, so we had fun with them. We had Environmental Education Exchange develop the curriculum for the program. And what we, you know, it's a lot to ask people to commit to, you know, so many hours. But what we are doing with them is they
took the curriculum that they created and they have collapsed it into an hour and a half program. And starting May 21st, it's going to be available as an hour and a half program to groups and adults in the community. So that starts, they have the first class scheduled for May 21st. And two more classes, I think, scheduled for June. So
what are they called again?
Environmental Education Exchange. They do our K-8 classroom education as well.
Okay. All right.
But they do energy presentations and water conservation presentations for Tucson Water and TEP. And so
they're real experts in it. They're very
They're very good. Like the K-8 classroom stuff they do for us is tied to the Arizona standard. So they're excellent. And when we started working on the Master Recycler, we found that the previous presenters had really not left anything for us to build on. So we asked EEE to help us put it together, and they did a great job. And, you know, since we already had it, we've wanted to do something because we get asked all the time by different groups to do presentations and training about recycling. And so it just seemed like, you know, we don't like to waste any of the stuff that we develop. So we might as well do this. And they were already getting a lot of requests for the presentations.
So does that mean you're going to drop the Master Recyclers?
Oh, no.
No. Okay,
This is an addition.
Yeah, oh, good. Again, I was getting nervous that you were going to drop it because obviously as a teacher, I know you can give a lot of information in an hour and a half, but it's simply not the same kind of information as in 5 units of hours.
And if, there's people that want to do the five weeks, and we're happy to do that. But there's people that just can't give that much time.
Sure, sure. Okay.
And they want to know more.
Yep.
And so that's what we're going to do.
Excellent.
We were at Earth Day, of course, on the 19th at the Children's Museum. We were at Party for the Planet at the zoo this year. Wow, I'm going to have to look at my calendar. We had so many things going on. Steve did a kickoff cleanup to start off Earth Day with the mayor on April 1st with Thrive in the 05 group. So we were pretty busy most of the month. In late March, I don't know if we had mentioned it before, we had been asked by South Point High School to do a training for all their sophomores because their sophomores are responsible for doing the recycling at the school. So Alyssa and Brittany did a day, almost two full days of classroom presentations at South Point to over 300 sophomores, one class after another for 2 days.
Wow.
So, yeah. No, they got lunch, but it was two very long days for them. So, but Chris, you're muted.
Yeah, I do have to tell you that we started recycling at Sabino in 2000. So, anyhow, we were hardcore.
Yeah, I wish, you know, more of the schools would do that.
Mostly, paper, 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 paper everywhere. So,
yeah.
And aluminum cans if the clubs didn't take them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks. So,
yeah, so we're going to, I keep telling them we're going to have a quiet summer, but we're going to spend a lot of time planning and getting things ready for the fall. So that's what we're going to do.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was good news. We like that.
Oh, I'll just mention it. You probably have heard that the Ward 6 recycle area is going to be closing.
Okay.
The which one?
The Ward 6.
Oh no.
Well, we don't own the land. We don't own the property. Yeah. We have identified another site. It's going to be right there on Randolph Way by the park.
Okay.
And it will be fenced. But we're going to be scheduling a public meeting to talk about how we want to set it up, get some input from the people who use the Ward 6 site. So we're probably going to, I mean, Ward 6 will let people know about the meeting, but we're also going to put some signs up in the area so that people who maybe won't see the newsletter will, but people who use the site will see, because we want them to have some input into how we set it up.
Where's the site now?
It's right across the street from the Ward 6 office, just to the west.
I forget where the Ward 6 office is.
It's at Country Club and Speedway, pretty much, well, on First
Anderson.
First
Street. Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Anderson and
Sanderson, yeah, second.
There's an empty lot, a parking lot, but it doesn't belong to the city. It was just borrowed.
It was loaned.
And the people who have the responsibility for it need it back.
Christina, could you notify the neighborhood associations that are active? Because, you know, I listen in on listservs at the other neighborhood associations. And I told you about that time when they were fussing about stuff in Sam Hughes. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, what do you think?
I think it's a first start.
Yeah.
A much bigger group of people that use it, but I think it's certainly the neighborhood association should hear about it. And you're going to have big signs on it for a long time, because people come up from Savano and other eastern areas and yeah, north, and so all over.
Well, you know, that they do have access closer to them to another, yeah, spot. It's, they don't have to come to Ward 6.
Yeah, there's one at the Ward 2 office on Broadway and Pantano.
Pantano.
Yeah.
Yeah. People from Savano don't need to come that far.
Right, but you know, if they're in town going on errands, it's sort of a central area. You're right, they don't.
And there should be, like you're right, there should be some signage there to, as soon as possible, to let them know that it's going to be closing. Because otherwise, yeah, it keeps starting to, you know, they'll drive all the way out there, get frustrated, and just leave it there, which has been known to happen.
And people don't come every week necessarily. You know, they may come once a month. So, that, you know, that's why the long lead time is needed.
Yeah, no, we understand.
And we Ward 6ers are pretty good recyclers, I think.
Yeah, oh, I think so too. We know. But I think...
Whatever.
Oh, it's not a competition, Fred.
Well, I was interested at the Ward 2 office. They have about 6 or 7 cardboard containers compared to two or three that we get at Ward 6, which is, of course...
Well, they're not only cardboard, they are mixed recyclables.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're not just cardboard.
And I know people come up from out of the city to put stuff in there, because I've been there.
And you know, the county transfer stations do take recycling.
Hmm.
And okay. And hazardous waste.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Don't hear about that much.
No, you don't.
No, but they do. They take them and they take it for free.
And then where does the recycling go then? Does waste management pick it up?
They're run by waste management.
Yeah.
Okay, so it comes to the MRF.
Should.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a transfer station in Catalina that is probably closer for people in Oro Valley than
right
anything in Tucson.
How well advertised is that?
Probably not well enough, but I want to start putting it on our website because, you know, our residents pay for our services. But I'm glad, you know, people are recycling, but.
Well, worked on it long enough. We're getting there.
But it does, you know, create issues for us. One of the things, you know, I'm kind of suggesting is that it have some kind of like an access code. It's going to be gated.
Oh, okay.
What's the new one?
Mm-hmm.
Randolph?
Yeah.
But is it going to be open? Were people going to throw stuff over the fence?
Well, people would have to sign up to use it.
Okay. Oh, okay. Kind of like the composting.
Uh-huh.
I like that. Then, you know, because we got a lot of businesses, right, that were just dropping off their cardboard and stuff.
Yeah. But I think we tell people, you know, if they're going to use it, they need to use it properly and, you know, break down their boxes.
Yeah. Okay.
So how would you get a code?
You'd have to sign up.
Where?
Online.
And when is that going to be advertised?
But again, that's my idea.
Carlos, okay.
I have different ideas. That's my idea.
Okay.
I suspect you're going to have some pushback on that. But we'll see. That's interesting.
Well,
it out for a discussion. You know, I think that's important.
What we do right now doesn't work.
Yeah.
Well, it works, but not in a way that's acceptable. Right. I mean, in the sense that it requires extra manpower to keep it cleaned up. And so, you know, people could make the decision to, you know, put in four quarters to get in the gate or something, and that money would go to pay someone from Primavera Works to clean up.
Well, we pay Beacon.
Or Beacon or whoever.
We pay Beacon about $4,000 a week.
Really?
Good. Yes.
To do what?
To clean up.
Just the Ward 6 one or all of them?
Just all of them.
All of them?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's good.
How often do they do that?
They do all of the sites at least a couple of times a week.
Are there some that are worse than others?
Ward 6 is probably the worst.
It's too ambitious.
I know. Monday after a weekend. I've gone by there on a Monday and it'll take them 2.5 hours to clean up.
Now, does that just all go into trash?
Yep.
That's sad.
Just to add on what Christina was saying, one of the things that we're also looking at, you know, some of these ward offices that have the, stuff that's being left on the ground or just overflowing, you know, we're looking at trying to see if we can get cameras so we can at least the, so they won't leave any of the stuff. It's almost like those cameras, you know, that are at Walmart or in a Circle K, you see they start flashing. We're looking at that to see if that's going to help out, you know, so it can reduce some of the stuff that's being left out there. Because yeah, it's a big mess, you know, especially, you know, these containers, these recycling, they're being serviced 6 times a week, and when it comes to Monday, it's pretty bad out there. So we're trying to see if that's going to help or not, but we also got to look at the cost, you know, what's the cost going to be in order for us to, you know, to have those cameras out there at the ward office. So we are working on that.
What do you think the cost is to service those 6 times a week? Do you have a?
No, but I can have that number for you, and maybe on the next meeting I can have that. Okay. And when you say service the 6 times a week plus whatever we're going out there and sending crews, you know, to because we not only is Beacon helping out with these. They're all, you know, then we got, especially when there's sometimes where there's too much stuff out there that, you know, because they I don't even know if they carry a trailer or not, or they have a small trailer, but usually, you know, we take our trucks out there and everything's going in back of a rear loader. Basically we're hand loading the stuff inside a rear loader. So
they do have a trailer, because I was out there one day when they were doing it.
Yeah. I really wish
you guys could say this stuff to a news channel, because, you know, I just keep hearing, oh, they're just not picking them up enough, and always blame ES. And I mean, it'd be nice if, you know, I've got Bud Foster's phone number. I could.
Well, I think that's why we want to. That's why we want to have a meeting with the people who use it.
Okay.
Because I suspect they'll say you need to pick them up more frequently.
Yeah, that's what they say.
And, you know.
They're saying, what's wrong with ES? Why don't they pick this stuff up?
I've had somebody tell me, you know, when we had the problems at Ward 2, when it was at the old location. It's, you know, said you need to pick it up more. I said, we pick it up 6 days a week. And he said, no, you don't.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, we, you know, I'm not going to argue with someone. I know what it is that we do. But
I also have pictures of the Ward 6 site, very clean and beautiful. Now, it may be just after people have come by, you know, I mean, I just go randomly. So, you know, and I've also been there when it's been a mess. So I'm not just saying that it's not a mess, but I think how people are going to respond to this new approach is going to be depend on how many times they see it a mess and how many times they see it clean.
Well, you know, I know that we've had really good success with food waste access codes.
Mm-hmm.
We're not telling people, we're not making them jump through a bunch of hoops to do it. We're just asking them to do it right.
Yeah.
And they're pretty happy to do it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I agree with you. And I think the people who want to do it right will get the codes and go through it and, you know, still do it right. I don't know. I'll be interested to know. I hope we do some number crunching and that we see how much we're collecting under the current situation and see what the change is in the amount collection if it goes under the codes, you know, because it would be interesting to know who the folks are that are coming and just throwing stuff down. I mean, is it people who, you know, that was their only chance that they came, or
you know, is it businesses that really should be doing something else? Are they coming in business trucks? I mean, I'd really like to know who's creating the mess.
I know at Ward 4, it was a lot of businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Ward 4 staff told me they'd see businesses pull up with a truck full of cardboard on the back, and they would just use a broom and brush it off the back right onto the parking lot and drive mm-hmm. away. They wouldn't even try to put it in the bins.
Right. Well, that's pretty frustrating.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that would be a good way, reason enough to put those cameras up.
Yep.
You know, if you've got a commercial business that's doing that, that reflects badly on the business, and I'm sure that the owner of the business would not like to see that, especially if they get, you know, they get caught doing something like that. I think all you really need to do is catch one or two businesses doing that, and if they're outed, then you know, the rest are going to say, well, we better not do that anymore. At least the smart ones will do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've come across also, you know, when, you know, we have the ward office here close to TOP Park in Ajo. I mean, with those containers are serviced first thing in the morning, you know, because the guys are just leaving, you know, the yard. By the end of the day, those things are just overflowing. And I mean, we can't add any more containers. And those are being serviced, like I said, six times a week. Adding more containers just takes some more space, and then, you know, we're limited with space. But you know, I've caught people out there, and I try to go talk to them, but you know, there's only so much I can do when they start barking back at you. And I'm like,
yeah,
oh, right.
And that's a risk that's not necessary. You know, that's you know, you might run into bigger trouble than what you need to. And I don't know. Yeah. That's something that's, you know, you're at risk. And that's not right. You shouldn't put yourself at risk.
Yeah.
And we don't, you know, and the Ward 4 people, it's all women that work there. And, you know, they would say the same thing. They'd try and say something and would be, you know, called names, and, you know, people would be threatening. And we don't, they shouldn't put themselves in that position. And, yeah, it's just not.
Well, that's why the cameras are important. I mean, you can't argue with, you know, body cams, and you can't argue with cameras that are recording who these people are.
You know, the only alternative to, you know, aside from cameras, you'd probably have to get community service officers out there. And, you know, they have more things that they have to do than that.
Sure.
Well, sure. I mean, and, you know, and that's kind of the thing, you know, this is why we can't enforce illegal dumping. This is why we can't enforce, you know, things like that, because, you know, police and community service officers have much more critical things that they need to be doing.
Exactly.
Which is why you use technology.
So,
I mean, technology can handle this. I mean, you can camouflage the camera so they can't throw things at them or try to
break. You know, I guess the only other, maybe I'm just throwing this out there, maybe you could see if you can't get a news crew out there and get them pictures, videotaping what these guys are doing. And I'm certain that might be something worth looking into. You could tell them it's an increasing problem, then yes, I think that's a valid excuse for them to do a story on something like that. And I don't think anybody's going to confront a news crew. I mean, that's just going to make them look really bad.
Well, you know, I mean, all of these things are, you know, good suggestions. However, I've been doing a lot of research on it. It's not a problem that's unique to Tucson. I have read articles from other cities, other communities, other states, where they've just said, we're closing them down because people are abusing the sites. And you know, we don't want to do that. We don't want to close them.
Well, you're hurting the people who obey all the rules and do their best to
well,
know,
exactly. But But if we have a way that we could set something up so that the people who want to do the right thing can still have access, then I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, because you don't want to penalize them. I mean, they didn't do anything wrong.
No, no. There's so many people. And if we can make it something that maybe limits access, but also will work for them, then I don't see a problem.
All right.
But
we should move on.
Yes, sorry.
You know, it's an education thing. I do, if you're really starting to think about this, to put up some very big signs on Ward 6 or the other place that you're thinking about doing this, maybe even the Ward 2 that we were hearing about, that's, or was it 2 or 5? 5, I guess, that's near the where the trucks are. That it, you know, you give people not just a warning, but what you're thinking about, so they can begin to get their head around it. And then, you know, maybe have a bar, one of those funny codes, and they can look at that with their phone, and you would have a little video that explains it on the website, that what you're thinking about and why you're being forced to do this, and that you don't really want to penalize the people who are doing the right thing. But there are so many people who are abusing the site, and, you know, I suppose, anyway, I would just say start the education way in advance. You know, 1 week, 2 weeks is not enough. We need to talk 3 and 4 months.
Well, we don't have, you know, they want it closed by the end of July.
Well, then you better put the signs up tomorrow, because otherwise the pushback's going to be severe, because people are going to come up and not know about it, because they only go once or twice, once a month or every 2 months.
Well, I think if we plan on having the meeting in June, we'll have enough time.
But you need to put the sign up now.
Yeah.
Oh, it says there's going to be a meeting in June. This is what we're thinking about. Here are the other sites. Please don't throw your cardboard on the ground.
Well, we have signs up that say that.
Well, I know that last part you do, but, and you have the signs up, we're thinking about closing the site.
Yeah. But, and, you know, it makes a little bit of a difference, but it hasn't solved the problem.
I've seen other people come in and pick up cardboard and put into the containers that were left by other people. So I do think there are people that are really concerned about losing them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not that hard. I've done that too. It's just, it's a shame that people have to do that, but it's also not that difficult to put them back in the bin where they belong.
But the bins, when I'm there to do that, the bins are full. So, you know, this is the problem.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Well, that should never have been set up as a site, because it doesn't belong to the city.
It's an accident. Yep.
So
it was a gift, because they were trying to redo stuff in the back. I mean, just think, that stuff was in back of the office, you know, just.
Oh, we know.
I know, everybody, you know.
And, you know, we had it at Hardesty, and it got set on fire a couple of times. So,
even by the police station.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right. Well,
thank you, Christina. I know you've been on this for a long time. You do a good job.
Yes, thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do a good job. Okay. Any ideas for future agenda items?
Continue the gas at the landfill, and what's happening with the contract.
I have landfill gas collection update, Kinder Morgan update, closed landfill update, the NRC associated cost. As a reoccurring item, I have electric garbage truck.
Okay.
And what about the schedule, the reroutings, how that's going to impact people.
Okay. That sounds good. Hey, this was a good meeting, I think. I got a lot of information. So let's move to item 8, no call to audience, and it's time to close the meeting. And it is, what time is it?
one quick thing. Let's add a
4:19.
From the university, an update on their effort to keep things out of the landfill.
It's the goodbye to the students for the summer time.
Oh. Yeah.
We are dropping off bins to start collection tomorrow. So I doubt I'll have numbers, but I can tell you how it went.
Okay. Good luck. Our blessings with you.
Yeah.
May the students do the right thing.
I can't wait till they're gone. And then I can go downtown and on 4th Avenue again. So summertime. All right. Take care, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye. Now.
Bye. Bye.